taking a trip back in time at Wichita State. I'm Tom Schein, and welcome to The Range.
Support for The Range comes from McCown Gordon Construction and listeners like you.
Coming up, a Wichita woman who loves playing the clown.
And I changed my whole from a BFA to a BA to take this clown class.
But first, knowing the history of a place can help people appreciate it even more. That was the goal of a recent guided tour of Wichita State University for students and staff. Daniel Caudill tagged along.
History professor Jay Price is leading a group of students and staff through Wichita State's campus when he points out three columns preserved from a former library that burned down. They were saved by a former school official and reflect how so many mainstays on campus have evolved to serve different purposes across time. Many names and landmarks remain, but their functions have taken new shape.
Those columns were so prominent that they got the attention of Kathleen Edmiston, who said, "We need to preserve those."
The Fairmount College opened in 1895 for both men and women. It became the Municipal University of Wichita, or Wichita University, after the city took control of it in the 1920s. Price says early covenant housing around the university was essentially only for descendants of white Christians.
So this was an era of race-restrictive covenants. There is an opportunity, but not for everyone.
The state was added to WSU's name once it became a Regents University like KU and K-State. At one point, there was also a failed push to rebrand to the Wichita State University, just like Ohio State.
Some folks in the community refer to us, sometimes affectionately, as Hillside High.
Then there's the story of how the school's mascot became known as Wooshock. Price says a former football coach told the press they were the Wheat Shockers because many students worked in wheat fields. That's where Shockers comes from. The school later became known as Wichita University, WU, or WU. Combine the two and...
That's why we're the Wichita University WU Shocks. That's where that comes from.
It's a common misconception that WSU's football team ended after the 1970 plane crash that killed several players, coaches, and supporters. But it was actually about 15 years later when the team was not performing well. Since then, there have been calls for the return of football to campus and some good-natured jokes about the program.
You'll still see t-shirts that say WSU football undefeated since 1987.
Today, the school honors victims of the plane crash at a memorial each year on the anniversary of the accident. Our tour ends at one of the most unique buildings on campus, the Corbin Education Center. It was designed by renowned 20th century architect Frank Lloyd Wright to be used as a telecommunications building in Iraq. But the government of Iraq was overthrown, and the design was adapted for the building on campus in the 1960s. Its design elements make it stand out from any other space at WSU.
A lot of Middle Eastern features are really incorporated in this structure. In particular, you have these big shafts of open space that are designed to facilitate airflow.
The building was recently added to the National Register of Historic Places, the first to earn the designation on WSU's campus. For The Range, I'm Daniel Caudill.
Wichita State offers a self-guided audio tour of the campus on its website, hosted by KMUW's Carla Eccles. You can find more of Daniel's story at KMUW.org. The history of the clown dates back centuries. The jester, the fool, the trickster, mischievous performers who express an aspect of the human condition. For this month's Culture Pop, Hugo Fan talks to someone keeping the art form alive.
Have you ever looked at a clown and thought, how does one become a clown? For Maddie White, that journey began when she went to the circus for the first time as a child. That dream followed her to college when she became a theater student at WSU and saw a listing for a course.
And I changed my whole, not my major, but from a BFA to a BA to take this clown class.
As soon as White put on the makeup and assumed the persona, she felt something click.
And the very first time I was a clown, I bombed so hard. I was so bad, but I loved it. There was just something. I think it was the first time that as a performer, I wasn't just putting on a role or pretending to be someone else, but I was able to create as myself. And that was a huge trajectory for me in the way that I create today.
That was nearly 10 years ago. Ever since, White has spread her love for the art form by traveling and performing. After a stint on the road, she began passing on what she's learned.
And every time I would come back, I would feel I was lonely. There's a lot of really great comedic performers and a lot of really incredible creators in Wichita, but there wasn't a clown community. And so I just kind of wanted to share all of the information and everything that I was gaining outside of Wichita and bringing it back.
White has taught at WCU and has held seminars around town. Earlier this year, she put on a showcase at Harbisar Arts called Clown Jam so her students could showcase what they had been working on.
It really does feel like there's starting to be like a clown core here in Wichita. And so that's why we started doing Clown Jam, which is a clown variety show. And we'll do another one in February. But it'll be cool just to kind of, we're spreading the sickness is what it feels like.
For people afraid of clowns, White completely understands why, but she also wants to highlight the gentler side of clowning.
I think it's the makeup. It's very uncanny valley. It has a lot to do with American horror as well. We've done a really good job of making clowns scary, and I completely understand. But I think there's a whole other world of clowning out there that's very soft and therapeutic.
White's passion for clowns helps fulfill a childhood dream and keeps an age-old art form alive for a new generation.
I think, yeah, one of my biggest regrets in life is not running away with the circus sooner. But I think in my own way, I'm just doing it in a different, I guess, smaller scape. I'm joining other little circuses as I go along is what it feels like.
For The Range, I'm Hugo Fan.
We explore the latest trends in Wichita every month on Culture Pop with Hugo Fan. The next Clown Jam will take place February 7th at Harbisar Arts. And one last thing. I'm old enough to remember when a penny had actual buying power. When I was a kid, if you could scrape together 4 or 5 pennies, you could go to the store and buy candy. Our preferred establishment was a beer store around the corner from our house. It was kind of dark and smelled funny, and the owner was often playing poker when we came in, using the open cash register drawer as the bank. But it had a decent array of penny candy, and if you had 5 cents, you could get 2 pretzel rods from a tall glass container on the counter. The U.S. Treasury has decided to stop minting pennies, and businesses are worried about a shortage. I've got 22 pennies in the change holder in my car, which I'm not sure what to do with now. Maybe I'll go buy some candy. Thanks for joining us on The Range. Our producers are Carly Cooper, Beth Goulet, and Lou Ann Stevens. Our digital producer is Hugo Fan, and Torn Anderson composed our theme music. I'm Tom Schein, and this is KMUW, NPR for Wichita.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.